Hey everyone, Steph Edsel here. I'm the hostess of this podcast. This is a re-recording. I've gotten some new equipment recently and I have decided to delete the last episode due to a listener found my asthma kind of troublesome, and that makes sense. So we're trying out the new equipment today and I am not experiencing any flare-ups. As promised, I would like to address some secondary dialectics in this episode. In DBT, we mainly focus on acceptance and change. Recall that accepting something doesn't mean we have to like it. Compassion is not required for acceptance. If that has been ingrained in you, it may require some fact-checking on those myths. Also, something that my supervisor, who I think is secretly a therapy wizard, we discussed recently that the actual term borderline personality disorder and how that poses a problem in many ways. She drew me a circle and then many circles around the outside of the big circle. In a way, it looked like a circle of circles around a big circle. That's the best I can describe it. In the small circles that touched the big circles, words like anxiety, depression, addiction, suicide, self-harm, impulsivity, and other criteria for the diagnosis of BPD written in them. In the big circle were the letters BPD. Remember, this is borderline personality disorder. She then said, "You see how all these things are on the edges here of this big circle? It's not actually that effective to call this a personality disorder for a variety of reasons. It would be better suited as a borderline disorder because the client doesn't actually meet full criteria for any of these other circles, only some of each. So it makes more sense to stop calling it a personality disorder." My mind was blown. Then to further blow my mind, she said, "Whose personality do you know that doesn't change when they're anxious or depressed?" I mean, she's not wrong. By any stretch. I reflected on myself. I could see this in my past experiences. Even remembering after I had my child 20 some years ago and dealt with postpartum depression, a friend said to me, "Hey, you don't seem like your normal bubbly self." And I did not have a retort. I mean, I was 20 years old, for heaven's sakes. I thought I knew it all. And looking back, it's clear that I didn't, and it's okay to accept that I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So, once a person does DBT and finishes the whole program, chances are that they've been able to reduce many, if not all, of their original presenting symptoms, and they do continue to move forward in their goals, noticing life being worth living, even with pain. Sometimes folks get stuck, even after they've finished their program or during the program. This can be due to several reasons. One of them being that there are actually secondary dialectics at play. I'd like you to envision an octagon, if you will. The top half we will call the biological domain, and the bottom half will be our social domain. This is going to go back to that biosocial theory of DBT. There's that biological piece that we simply cannot change. It's our DNA. It's part of our makeup. This can feel pretty frustrating, I believe. Marcia, the wonderful creator of DBT, describes this as being psychologically equivalent with a third-degree burn patient, meaning they have very thin to non-existent emotional skin, okay? To quote page 69 of her text, Cognitive Behavioral Treatment of Borderline Personality Disorder, even the slightest touch or movement can create immense suffering. Yet on the other hand, life is movement. Therapy at its best requires both movement and touch, end quote. Okay, back to the octagon shape. We have split those domains in half horizontally. In the center is a place where we will draw arrows that align with each point of the octagon. leaving the middle line as the separator of biological and social domains. In the book, the arrows running north and south are labeled as follows: emotional vulnerability, or difficulty regulating emotions and their responses. That's in the biological half. And the bottom half says self-invalidation. This is basically invalidate or fail to recognize one's own emotional responses, thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors. On my slide, given to me by my wizard boss, the dilemma for clients is stated as such. Client doesn't know who is to blame for their problems. Is it my fault? Is it everyone else's fault? Also, they don't know who is right, meaning, am I really vulnerable and unable to control my behavior and reactions? Am I bad, able to control my reactions, but unwilling to do so, as the environment tells me? Let me break it down for you. If you're a sensitive human and haven't been validated or understood, chances are you do a vicious dance with yourself. Here it goes. I feel pain. It's not okay. I'm blank. Judgment for this experience. I should not feel this. Go ahead and fill in the blank with the insult of your choice, which will equal it cannot be valid. It's a flip-flop between these until we can notice the emotion and understand its responses / action urges, can regulate it, and problem solve or act opposite to the emotion, all while validating the self and accepting the reality of the situation. Holy cow, that's a lot. From the text, patience, acceptance, self-management, and self-soothing are both the ingredients and the outcome of the synthesis of vulnerability and invalidation. Holy cow. So in group this last week, a person asked, what if I don't do that with myself? They proceeded to mention a previous partner that the partner, were delusional. It was advised that they try to practice a dialectical approach and try to find the kernel of truth on that person's side in order to not experience high suds while interacting with them or reading correspondence from them. Another client offered feedback on the comment. I can't possibly see their truth. They're not based in reality. The client offered, maybe that is their kernel of truth, noticing that is the reality for them. It really did seem to bring more light on the subject. So that's it for today. I just want you to notice, if you are somebody that is potentially invalidating yourself for having an emotional experience, it's time to really nip that in the bud and begin practicing self-validation. Remember to recall on previous episodes if you need more feedback or help in understanding what validation looks like. That's it for this week. I'm hoping the sound quality has improved. And please join me next time on DBT Weekly for the next episode, which will center again on another secondary dialectic hidden here in DBT. Thanks for joining me. As always, you can reach me at stephanie@thedbtcenterofutah.com. Previously, uofudbt@gmail.com. I do check both those accounts. As always, I do welcome feedback, criticism, comments, concerns, questions, and also topics. If there's stuff that you guys want me to talk about or explore, please, heaven's sake, send me an email. See you next time on DBT Weekly. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week.